as a duty, and it feels maybe hard and difficult, but when it doesn't need to be that way, it's a joy. It can be a joy, this church family here coming together and encouraging each other and speaking into each other's lives is meant to be a joy, just like we see as fathers, new fathers and mothers take care of their little babies. You know, it's a joy. And so I would encourage us to look at life in that way. Like to just pause in and have a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do just bow before you this morning again with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the things that we heard this morning already. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to hide those things into our hearts and that we would make them priority in our lives. And I pray also, Lord, as we look into your word further, that we could hear the things that you have for us and that we could take them with us. I pray that you would be with those that are not here, those that may be at home listening in. I just pray, Lord, that you would be near to them this morning as well. And Lord, I pray that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the verse that I want to look at is in Proverbs chapter 27. And the thought that I would like to leave with us here is to be conformed to the character of Christ. When we think about being conformed, we think about that there's some things that need to be worked out, some things that need to take place, some change, some sharpening. And if we look at Proverbs 27, verse 17, it tells us, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." When we stop and we take that verse in and see what it's telling us there, it takes, like if you're trying to sharpen a knife or a weapon or a saw blade, you need something to be able to accomplish that. It's not going to happen by itself. You need another tool, you need a piece of iron or stone or something to change that. So when we think about sharpening and we think about that taking place in our lives, how much change needs to happen? How much sharpening, you know, what actually changes? And when we look at the process of that in my workplace, in saw blades, in knives, in whatever you're trying to sharpen to make it be not very effective to being very effective, it doesn't take much to change that. You can pull a saw blade off of a saw and it has a nice big motor on it and the blade is dull and it just doesn't cut nice. It works hard and it just chews through the lumber and it doesn't do a very good job. And so if someone sees that and cares, they will bring that blade off and they'll start working with it. And when they get done sharpening that blade, you will find maybe very fine filings on the bench, but not much. Just a little edge was put to it And it makes such a difference. And that's what God wants to do in our lives as believers. You know, when our life gets dull and we feel like we don't in us, and he wants to bring us, make us alive again. And he often does that with the people that we're around, with our church family, with our family, with each other. And we know that iron, you know, when it gets sharper, it needs something else to do that. And so in our world, God is using us, each other, and his Holy Spirit, and he worked through us to accomplish that in many times. We will very carefully go through that process. We know that if you just grind into it, that it will be harmful and cause a lot of problems, and in some cases could even destroy it. And so it's important that we understand that process. And I'd like to talk about that process in our lives, and that it's important that as that process happens in our lives, that we're careful, as that, you know, whether we're the instrument that's being sharpened, or whether we're the one that's maybe helping in that. But I believe in all cases, regardless of where we're at, that usually it is sharpening. If sharpening is happening, it is happening in all of us at the same time. I'd like to and just going back, I got ahead of myself here. You know, in a blade, you know, it can be a tooth can be broken off, and it can still be repaired. And so it doesn't mean that, you know, if we feel like we're all broken, that we can't be repaired. There's ways of putting new teeth on blades. There's ways of putting, you know, new knives into a knife. You know, you can put new metal on. I'm sure that many of us have heard the saying, or maybe we've even said it ourselves, "Don't judge me." You know, we think about you know, being sharper, our lives being changed. And when we hear that being said, there's a reason that we say that. And one may be because we know that we're not where we want to be. We know that we're not doing the right thing, and we don't want to be told. Or we may say that because we don't like where we're at, but we're scared. We're scared to see what change would look like. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Another reason I think that maybe we say that is because we are afraid that people don't understand me or my motives, and that they'll judge me wrongly. And so we may feel like basically that we're afraid that we're going to be misunderstood. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 6 here. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. In Matthew here, verse 1 here, you know, I think that often when we hear people saying to not judge them, we think about maybe this verse. When we think about judgment, someone judging me, we think about someone forming an opinion or coming to a conclusion about me, or to make a decision, a judgment decision. In verse 2 here, it tells us the dangers of how we judge. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. So, if we see wrong, does that mean that if we see something that's wrong and we do nothing about it, we act like we don't care, like it's not my job, that we're doing ourselves and them a favor? I don't think so. If we knew that for a fact that I was wrong and I was headed in a direction that I didn't want to be for the end of life, but I wasn't aware of it, and you knew that and didn't tell me, you know, it wouldn't be good. If I'm wrong, do I want my friends, do I want my people to just let me go? I'm sure that if we had friends, we would want them to approach us with compassion and care and give us a solution to the change that we need. But we wouldn't want them to come at us with a critical spirit or a condemning spirit, something that doesn't give us hope, but rather we would want them to come and tell us a solution to the problem. And so I think that's what it's talking about here is, you know, when we find fault somewhere, that we don't just condemn it and put it in a box and then leave it hopeless, but rather we help them find a solution. Two things that I would like to look at here in these verses here. And one is, when we approach a friend, when we see that their life needs to be changed, conformed, or sharpened. And then the other is, you know, when we find ourselves with people approaching us in saying, seeing things in our lives. And I think some good things to keep in mind as we find ourselves looking into our brothers' lives or speaking into it is that we come with the idea is not to bring them down, but rather to bring an opportunity to the table to do what? To be more conformed to the character of Jesus. That needs to be our motive, to bring opportunity, to bring solution, to give them answers. You know, in most cases, we already know where we're at. We already know what we're doing wrong. We need to help each other to get beyond and to find courage. Another thing that we see here in Matthew chapter 7, and it talks about it, is that, you know, when we analyze that the measuring, that we use the same measuring device that we're using on others, that we also use that measuring device in our own lives. Sometimes I often buy lumber from different people, different places. But as I was thinking about this, you know, I buy cedar 4x4s from Yoder Sawmill pretty regularly. And on the purchase order, it just says 4x4, 8 foot or 10 foot. And that the lengths, you know, when I order a 10 foot piece of lumber, it's usually 10 feet. But when I take a tape measure on it, the widths on my paperwork, it says 4 inches. But when I measure it, it only comes out to 3.5. But it never bothers me. It's always, you know, it's okay. And why is that? It's because the measurements that I'm going by and the measurements that Melvin is going by is the same. We're looking at it the same way. But if I went and ordered 2x4s and he gave me something that measured closer to 1.5 by 2.5, then it would be a problem. And it would cause issues. And I would probably feel like, well, that wasn't fair. I was ripped off. I paid for more than what I was getting. And so those are things that, you know, when we are looking, when we're speaking into each other's lives and looking at things, it is very important that we analyze our own lives in the measurement that we measure other people's lives, that we use that same measurement in our own lives. What type of measuring sticks do we use when we go through these steps? You know, that measuring stick of bitterness when we're, you know, looking at these things we can so easily get pulled into that and we start measuring because of that. And it's a trap that we can easily fall into. The measuring stick that we want to use is a measuring stick of mercy. And when we bring these things up, it's not because of personal gain that we have, but rather it's because of a heart of love. We want a right relationship We want our people to have a good and right relationship. In Luke chapter 6, verse 39 and 40 there, tells us that the blind cannot guide the blind. You know, so if we're basically, you know, if we're not dealing with things in our own lives, but trying to deal with things in other people's lives, that it's not going to bear fruit. It's not going to work. And we look at that, you know, that measuring stick of bitterness, the critical spirit. When we look at that and, you know, look at our lives and see the times that we've been that, you know, we realize that that spirit hasn't really earned a reputation of being accurate or even, yeah, it's not fair. It typically is one-sided. You know, we don't include ourselves into that when we're feeling that way. And so those are things that are, if we are, we need to take a honest look in our lives and see where we are. The caring spirit cares about, you know, our brothers, our sisters' success. You know, it cares about that their life is sharp and productive. It cares about the failures, the strengths, the weaknesses. It notices my brother's likes and dislikes. It notices when there is joy and when there is sorrow. It notices the dreams and disappointments. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. You know, when we're going through this process, we want that love. We want that. We need that in our lives, and the love that Jesus has for all mankind. You know, that's the kind of love that needs to be shown, needs to be, the people that we're sharing with need to experience that from us. If we want these kinds of encounters to be successful, if we want them to experience what we're trying to say, those are the things that we need to betray from our lives. If we can show this, you know, our encounters will be blessed. And, you know, we will, as we get to experience these kinds of connections with our brothers, we will learn to not to dread maybe these, when we think about iron sharpeneth iron, but we will realize that they are a blessing, and we will see them as such. But it is something that we have to be active in, because whenever our flesh is down, is discouraged, it likes to be alone. It likes to not encounter in these ways. And so we have to push we have to push through those things. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 10 and just look at this account here, the Good Samaritan. And we see here in Luke 10, going down to verse 30 here, and Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds and pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." We see here in this account that there was three different people here that came by this man that was laying along the road that was in need. And for one reason or another, two of them didn't bother to do anything. They just left him. It's possible that they were afraid of the people that might have hurt this man. It's possible that they didn't think they had time. Or maybe they thought that he was beyond hope. As we have these opportunities, as we see lives that are in need, where do we find ourselves when these things pass us by? Do we find ourselves passing by? You know, it's possible that we see a need and realize what they're into. But as we look at the need, we see our own sin. And it's like, well, I haven't taken care of my own life. I can't be of much help here. And so we have to pass by. Or maybe we feel like it's going to take too much time. The investment is going to be too great. So I'd like to challenge us here that, you know, we see one that had compassion and it cost him. But he was willing to take the time and do what it took to be of help. And that's what our investment in each other should be. And it's the investment that we want to make. But so often, life will get in the way of that. Our selfishness, our pride, our lack of interest in each other. And so let's not lose those blessings in our lives, but let's purpose to be those people that we are sharpening each other's lives. When we are approached by when it is our turn, and we find someone approaching us, how do we find ourselves responding to that? do we find ourselves tightening up and thinking and saying those words, "Don't judge me"? Or do we find ourselves as, you know, we see ourselves being approached, we hear ourselves saying, "Okay, I hope, please be gentle. You know, I'm fragile. I want to learn, but maybe afraid." When we hear someone, when someone comes to us, you know, can we take the approach, assuming we have areas and needs in my life that need to, that I can grow in, that I need to grow in? Do we dare ask questions to help understand what's being said? And last of all, you know, when this is happening, and we see here in Matthew, you know, that not all approaches are approached fairly. You know, sometimes we will find people using a measuring stick that isn't fair. If they were to measure their own lives that way, that it, they wouldn't do that. So if we find ourselves in this situation and we realize that it is a critical approach, where does that put us? If we allow the flesh to have its way, which it really badly wants to in situations like this, is we will probably just shut it out and receive nothing from it. But I'd like to challenge us, you know, even when we find ourselves with this happening in our lives, that if we could dare to open our hearts to this kind of speaking, that probably there is a nugget of truth to be found. Do we want that nugget of truth? Or are we going to write it off? If we do what people normally do, we will join them and we will write it off and we will walk away from it and we will miss out on that nugget of truth that was ours to be had. But if we can receive that nugget of truth, it will be a time that we learn to be able to humble ourselves in a time when it would be difficult to do so. And to receive it. And if we can learn to receive those things and in those times, we will be the ones that will receive a blessing. And we will find ourselves becoming sharper. We will find ourselves being conformed to the character of Jesus. And we will be blessed and amazed at where life is taking us. But if we allow ourselves to become defensive and bitter and angry when these things take place, we will be disappointed and discouraged and alone. And so, as we ponder these things and take these things into our hearts, let's allow God to do His work in our lives. And something I think that we do well to think about too is as people talk to us, we do well to realize that people don't always mean exactly what they say. Or what I heard. You know, how often do I hear something? How often do I hear a conversation? And I think that I went away with one thing and something else was actually meant by it. So as we ponder those things in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 here, just a few closing thoughts here that I'd like to leave with us. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. How important is it that our speech is gracious? That our words are seasoned with salt, meaning that it leaves, when we think about salt, we think about something that has taste, something that we will remember. Typically, we think of as a good thing. And so seasoned with salt, it leaves an impression with us. Our words leave an impression. When our words are used wisely, they leave that kind of an impression. It has flavor. It leaves meaning. And when we are looking at this, we are thinking of, you know, leaving with purpose, with courage, something that gives us a reason to move forward. In James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So, I think these verses are very important as we interact in each other's lives, as we strive to make our lives sharper, as we desire to be conformed to the character of Christ, and we help each other in that. You know, do we stop we stop and listen to ourselves? Do I listen to my heart and my desires as I think about my brothers, as I think about my family? Are my thoughts pure? Is it peaceable? Is it gentle? Am I easy to be entreated? Those are sobering questions, full of mercy. How do I view myself in these areas? How do my brothers see me? Do we dare ask ourselves these questions? Maybe we don't have people coming to us and asking questions. Maybe we should ask ourselves the question of why not? I trust that we are and we want to be, and Brother Henry gave us something to think about, is, you know, we need to have a goal or a target, a purpose. And if we don't think about these things and strive to make them part of my life, you know, these things don't just happen. We won't do these things unless we realize that this is what God wants me to be, and we start working on these things. You know, a hunter, or someone that likes to shoot, if they want to hit the target every time at whatever distance that is, they will practice, and they will figure out what they need to do so they can do those things. And so let's take those things to heart and strive to apply them to our own lives. May God bless.